Okay.
So it's about that season, folks, right? It's about that season. Everybody should be saying, what season is that? Let's practice that. Ready? It's about that season. Ready? One, two, three. Wow, you guys are awesome. You got on the ball. And so the season is Christmas. Yay! Everybody's ready for Christmas yet? Anybody thinking about Christmas yet? Maybe. Okay. So, you know what's interesting about Christmas is that my wife loves to put up the Christmas tree. And one time we thought of putting up a real tree. Anybody has put up a real tree? I don't want to put up a real tree because I find it gets pretty messy, thanks. But you know what's great today? There are some good-looking Christmas trees. Not like the 1980s when I was growing up. I mean, those trees look like as fake can be. But today, have you ever seen the Christmas trees? They have the snow on it that looks like real snow. They have, it looks like a real, we just bought one last year, and it looked absolutely, real. Beautiful. It's a beautiful tree. And so now I don't have to worry about a fake tree. And so you notice that there's a lot of imitation stuff out there, and you'll see where I'm getting to already. But you notice there's a lot of imitation stuff out there, right? And some of them, I mean, I go to Mr. Sub, and I'll have the crab sub, and if anybody knows that crab is not real crab, but it's imitation. But I still like it. It's imitation, but I'll still eat it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know that, you know, you buy some of these imitation stuff? So the imitation stuff today is pretty good. But I'll tell you one place that imitation is not good, and we all know this. It's in the church. Imitation in the church has hurt the witness of Jesus Christ in the world. And so that's one thing. We look at Jesus Christ now, and we're on Matthew chapter 6, and he's covering what's called Sermon on the Mount. So he goes up onto this mountain in the northern part of Galilee. Not in a mountain like Mount Ararat, where it's like 30,000 feet high. No, it's just a manageable mountain. And so there he sits with the disciples, and also the crowd comes to gather with him. And this Sermon on the Mount really is not teaching people, the unbelievers, on how to get saved. You know what he's teaching? He's teaching believers how to be authentic believers. That's so important for our lives today. Because sometimes we read over the Sermon on the Mount and it just kind of goes here and then goes over our heads. But I want you to reread Sermon on the Mount, because this is something that he would have preached several times during his earthly ministry. So there's something very important about Sermon on the Mount. You have to remember, too, that the Pharisees were what? The imitation crab meat that some of you don't like. They weren't the real crab meat. They weren't reality. The problem with that is they taught things that was just surface stuff. It was all about the law. It was all about legalism. And it didn't bring them closer to God. It didn't even bring them closer to the law. It gave them this righteousness that was fake. And so Jesus gathers the crowd. And he talks about this Sermon on the Mount, which we call Sermon on the Mount. It was probably one of the greatest sermons that he's ever mentioned. Why? Because it's talking to us as believers on how to live an authentic life rather than just showing up on Sundays and then living differently on Monday to Saturdays. So it's very important that we go through the Matthew chapter 6, and it's very important that you review it yourselves and go through it, understand the importance of what Jesus is talking about here. And sometimes we look at this and say, oh yeah, that makes sense, because obviously we shouldn't do these things that he talks about. But if you take it into your heart, if you take it into your soul and say, yeah, there's that reality, that deepness that he wants us to have in the words that he's teaching, so that it will affect not only the way I live, but others can see and be affected by the way I live. We shouldn't be like the world. We should be different than the world. If we're trying to please the world, if we're trying to be like the world, Jesus has something to tell you in the Sermon on the Mount. We don't need to be like the world. We don't need the church to be like the world. We don't need to entertain them to have the unbelievers come here. You know how the unbelievers will come here? In the power of the Holy Spirit, when you share the word of God to them. It's not some big entertainment thing to bring them. Oh, if we have these big bands in marketing, we'll bring them in here, but it won't change them, because they can get that from the world. The only guy who can change them, the only person who can change them, is Jesus Christ. the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Look at your lives. It's different than it was before. We can't simply say we need to get the world in here through world's methods. We don't need to do that. Jesus Christ knows how to get them here. What he's doing right now here with this church, he's preparing our hearts. He's preparing our hearts to be authentic, to be genuine. I can't be double-minded. I cannot. I'd be a hypocrite. Paul Fernando behind closed doors, evil. And then when I come here Sunday, God bless you all. I can't be like that. Jesus won't have that. He loves me so much. He loves you so much. He wants to change your hearts. Even when you think you've gotten to the point where your heart is changed, there's still something in there that he's saying, I want all of you, Paul. I want that part there that you're trying to hang on to. I want that too. Because he loves you so much. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's see what God is telling us on how to be authentic Christians, on how to live in this world. It's so important. It's so important that we be authentic. It's so important. Let me just turn here to Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to go over it yourselves on your own. Read through it. Oh, hello, Gabriella. Can I help you? Okay, somehow she got in, and I'm going to ask her to mute. All right. I don't know if I'm part of the lesson today there, so. All right, chapter 6. Oh, all right. I mean, some of these are pretty, it's like, oh, of course we know that. Of course we know that. And so, for example, we know that the Lord covered something that was very important during those days, of course, and it's important today, but they would have taught this, the Pharisees, and that would have been prayer, that would have been fasting. And when he talks about the prayer, we went over that, there was something that was missing in their prayer life, and that was authenticity. They were praying because why? Because they wanted others to see, look how spiritual I am, right? And so they would go at different times. There was a 9, 12, and 3 o'clock times where it was public prayer. But I can tell you that there have been and find on the streets a certain time where it was probably a lot of people. They would find that perfect time where this is. It's like probably going to like at the time if you go downtown to Dundas Square. So it'd be like, okay, I'm going to go to Dundas Square. And right at this time, just wait. All right, it's the peak time. And then I would pray out loud and just like, but I wasn't really thinking about my prayer. I wasn't really praying to God in authenticity. I was praying to get your approval and for you to say, look how spiritual that man is. And so there's a big difference in the model prayers. And that's why Jesus is teaching us about the model prayer. And then he goes on to teach about fasting. And listen to this. He goes to in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like what? The hypocrites. First thing he says right there when he's talking about fasting. When you fast, listen, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What's their reward? They have their reward from the people that are approving and saying to him, look at how he looks so sickly in his fasting. Wow, he's so spiritual. He's got approval from men, but not from God. God knows the heart of why they're fasting. It wasn't for approval from God. It wasn't to seek a closeness to God. It was from approval from men. This is pretty straightforward stuff for us. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. You notice that? He's saying, look, you don't need to look all fast-like, just go out there as you normally would, and your fasting is between me and you. That's okay. You don't have to get the approval of someone to say, oh, boy, you look like you're fasting. But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So we see the difference here. We see the difference between those who play religiously, acting religiously and play acting, and we see someone who is truly in love with the Lord and wants to fast because, you know what? I believe that the Lord's called me to fast. I believe that the Lord wants me to fast because there's just, I need to have that closeness with him. There's a reason why there's fasting. It's to draw near to him. You feel like, you know what? These things are distracting to me right now. I need to pull away from that fasting. Fasting is not necessarily food. Do you know that you can fast from your phone? Oh, Pastor Paul, don't say that part. You can fast from your phone. You can fast from social media. Why? Because I feel those things are distracting me and I need to just get with the Lord and be honest with him. Hey, listen, parents need to fast from social media too. And so he teaches us about fasting. He teaches us about praying. Why? Because those are the things that a lot of people are going to misuse. And now, before we get into the rest, he had talked about, in the previous verses, he talked about ourselves. He says, okay, the inward part. And now he's going to talk about what we are to be like in regards to the material things, what we're to be like in regards to other people. And so he says here in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. This is going to be, this is one where a lot of people kind of close their ears to because of the world that we're in. Listen to this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pastor Paul, what about insurance? Pastor Paul, what about RRSPs? What about all this? I'm not a financial planner. God is. Do you know that God can financially plan your life? Well, how do I do that, Pastor Paul? He just talked about the model prayer. He's teaching us how to pray. Do you know that God is your provider? That God is not somebody that you should take into only certain parts of your life, but when it comes financially, that I don't need to take him in there because I think I know better? That is the wrong thinking. That is the world's way. We ought to bring him into every aspect of our lives. I need to bring him into every aspect of our lives. That includes financially. Every nickel and dime. Why? He knows. He knows what you need. He knows how to plan your life, if you want to talk about it, financially. So do I need to see some? I want you to pray about it. And I want you to seek the words of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. He does. He speaks to you if you allow him to. He will speak to you. You seek him. This is all about you seeking him. This is all about you being authentic now and saying, you know what? That's an area of my life. God is just knocking on my heart right now. He's speaking to me. He's saying, the area of finances, you haven't spoken to me about that. You've prayed to me about everything else, but you haven't talked to me about your finances. Why not? He's your provider, is he not? He is. Then he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body it will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in darkness, how great is that darkness? I want you to think about this in light of what we're reading here in the verses before and verses after. He's talking about material things. So then what's he talking about? The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if it's bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eyes are not on the heavenlies, then it's full of darkness. If your eyes is not on Jesus Christ, then it's got to be on something else. It's simple as that. If our eyes is not on Jesus, it has to be on the world. If my eyes is not on Jesus, then it has to be on materialism. If my eyes is not on Jesus, it has to be on a bad relationship. If therefore your eye is good, the whole body be full of light. It's very simple in regards to this context. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus, your whole body will be full of light. If I keep my eyes on materialism, if I keep my eyes on my problems, if I keep my eyes on me, myself, and I, then it's in darkness.
How many people here want to be a body that is full of light? Keep your eyes on Jesus. And now he hits hard again, but it shouldn't be hard. It sounds like it's hard, but let me tell you why it's hard. Because it's the flesh. It's my flesh that makes it hard. No, I don't want to hear this. This is a hard one for some people. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Okay, what are these two masters? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Materials. Materialism. Your own property. Everything. You cannot serve God and mammon. Rather than letting money serve you serving money, can I say this? Let the money serve God. Rather than the money, you serving money, sorry, let the money serve God. You can't have two masters. God knows us. This is really wants us. I mean, all of them here are very important, but this is for North America, folks. We are serving money in most of North America. God has become their money. Why? Because it pleases them. But we don't get to the point that we want to please God. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying produces nothing, does it? You worry right now, but it produces nothing. That's what he's saying here. What do you add by worrying? You can't add anything by worrying. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentile seeks. When he talks about Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers. See, the unbelievers, they worry. They worry. But as a believer, you see, God's getting us, we need to be different. We need to not worry like the unbelievers worry. Because why? Because then I fully trust in God. I depend on God. Depend on God. Trust in God alone. Do you know if you truly depend on God and truly trust in God, you won't worry? Because then your eyes is not on mammon, it's on God. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You should be highlighting that and underlining it. Because here's the thing. A genuine believer believes everything in this Bible that God says. And so if God says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, your heavenly Father knows that you need this, this, and this. So when you are denied something that you badly want, it's because the Lord knows that it's going to hurt you in his relationship with him. Do you see why? Then you can accept it. But when the Lord provides things, you have to know that it's from God. You have to absolutely believe it. Trust in his words. These are words that we kind of let rust and dust kind of starts gathering on. Right? We need to blow the dust off these things. We need to get rid of all those things that are over these words that are preventing us from believing that the Father knows that we need these things, and so he'll provide. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day in its own troubles. But before that, look at that verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's just saying that, folks, help me, Father, to be able to really convey the importance of this, these words, seeking of you, seeking of your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Some false teachers take this to mean that you're going to be a millionaire. If you seek the Lord, you're going to be wealthy. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It doesn't mean that at all for most of us here as Christians. I know it doesn't mean that for me, because why? He knows what's best for me. He knows where my heart is in regards to finances. He knows where my heart is in regards to stuff. So he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are you seeking today? What were you seeking yesterday? What are you going to seek tomorrow? What are you going to seek when you're at work? What are you going to seek? May I tell you something, what you ought to seek? Here's what you need to seek. Here's what I need to seek. I need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because he says, all these things shall be added to you. What things? Whatever the Lord wants to give me. Whatever the Lord wants to give me, because whatever he gives me, he knows it's going to benefit me. It may be a trial, but I don't want that trial, but he wants to give it to me. Why? Because he wants me to draw closer to him and have an authentic, real relationship with Jesus Christ. That's hope in that. A lot of people think that's defeat, but that's victory. The unbelievers don't have that. They will turn to psychologists. They will turn to psychiatrists to try and get these things. They'll just say, I don't feel so fulfilled. I don't feel so happy. I feel depressed. Depression is big right now, ladies and gentlemen. Suicide is on an all-time high. Why? Because they're seeking the things of the world, thinking that that's what the world, and after they seek the things of the world, those things will be added onto them, and that will fill the hole in their heart. The hole in their heart is because they're missing Jesus Christ, and that's why Jesus Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added onto you. Oh, I pray that we can all get to that point, Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, the world wants to poison us with different things, and that's why they're good at marketing. They spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to feed your flesh. That's why they got the HGTV show, and they show all flipping houses. They show all these houses how to flip, and how to get this, and how to get that, and how to get this. And Christmas is coming up, so all these advertisements are going to come out. Toys R Us, all these things. Why? Because they want to show you to fill these things with. For you to have pleasure, you need this. For you to feel fulfilled, you need to own a home. For you to be fulfilled, you need to have this car. That's what the world is teaching. And we ought to be different than the world. Why? Because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why? He loves you. He loves you. Am I saying that housing is wrong? No. Pastor Paul, are you saying that to own a house is wrong? No. I'm saying you seek the Lord in prayer about that which you want to go after. And you see what the Lord says about it. He's your provider. He loves you. He would never steer you wrong unless you doubt. You see, the issue is this. We doubt the Word of God to be exactly what it says it to be. We doubt that the Word of God, no, I don't think the Lord doesn't want me to have a house, so I'm not going to pray about that. Or if I pray that to the Lord, he might say no. That's not defeat, folks. If the Lord says no, it's not defeat. We have to change our way of thinking. This is what the Lord is doing here. He's changing our way of thinking because the Pharisees were teaching wrong doctrine. You have been brought up in this world with, can I say for the most part, wrong thinking. Don't get mad at me. We have been brought up to think that the only way to fulfill our own lives is, number one, to think about me, myself, and I. And that security comes from the stuff that we have. And that security comes from what's in my bank account. And if those things are in my bank account, if I have this house where I feel secure in, then the Lord has blessed me with that security, yes. But to think that somebody who doesn't have a big bank account, to think that someone who doesn't own a home is not as spiritual as you or is not blessed by the Lord is false. And the world would want us to think that way. Why? To get us to doubt God. As soon as we doubt God, we are now not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are not operating in the words of God. I don't want you to doubt anymore, brothers and sisters. I want you to believe in the words of God because they're inherent, and they will give you the fulfilled life that you've always been seeking. I don't care what the professors tell you at school. If it's against God, it's against God. I don't care what CEOs and owners of corporations tell you. I will tell you what to care about. The words of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be fulfilled when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. You can release yourself from the bondage of what the world has taught and even just tell the Lord, I am so sorry, Lord, that all I've been doing is going after things and feeling that that's what brings me security. I need to be secure in you, Jesus Christ. Please show me that way. That's the way I want to go. I don't want to go that way anymore, Lord. Please free me from that bondage. It's a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, when you can free yourselves from that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first His righteousness. It's a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, to be released of that bondage that the world has programmed us to. You're not defeated in Christ. Oh, people were putting me down for this, this, and this, and my nationality, this. No more in Christ. You are free in Christ. Those that put you down, those that have put you down in the past, might even be your parents. You're released from that in Christ. You're victorious in Christ. You don't have to live in defeat anymore. You're victorious in Christ. Pick up your head. Don't lower your head in defeat. Pick up your head and say, I'm victorious in Christ. My victory is not in me. It's in Jesus Christ. Release yourself from that bondage. You don't need to think like that anymore. Jesus is teaching you on the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching you how to live freedom in Christ. Free in Christ. But you got to believe it. You can't doubt it. Now, we all fall to doubt. The great thing is Jesus says, you doubt, come to me. I say, I doubt, Lord. I'm so sorry I doubt. And guess what He'll do? The power of the Holy Spirit, He'll work in you to not doubt. But you can't just leave it to just praying like that without seeking the words of God. He's saying all these wonderful things. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. You see that? Why? Because I have a God who knows what my tomorrow is. He knows my... I don't know what tomorrow brings. Oh, God, I pray, God forbid, that I would wake up tomorrow and get a stroke. But He knows. And then He'd say, Paul, it's time to come home. But guess what? Don't cry for me. I'm in glory with Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry because you don't know what tomorrow brings. But God knows what tomorrow brings. So why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? You don't have to worry. He knows what tomorrow is. He knows what the next day is. He knows what December is going to bring, November, December, January, February. He knows all that. You don't have to worry. And then He goes on to judge not, that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And, you know, I want you to read this on your own, because this is what He says basically there. He's saying, listen, oh, Pastor Paul, that means, you know, you're so judging. Why are you so judging? Doesn't your Bible just say don't judge, man? Yeah. He's not saying that we don't judge. He's saying this, that I shouldn't judge you without the same standards that I should judge myself. You know who I should be judging first? Me. Me. I judge myself first. Because what He's going to say is this, we need to be fruit inspectors. He's going to talk about that later. He says, we don't judge in the sense that I'm going to judge, but not me at the same standard. You see, it's so easy to judge other people, but I don't live up to that same standards of what I judge other people with. Do you understand what I'm saying? I got to judge myself first. And then I can go ahead and just make sure that you are walking and bearing fruits. And if not, I've got to ask the Lord, how do I tell that brother and sister that hey, listen, this is not the, be careful or whatever. But first, I got to make sure before I tell that brother and sister, am I doing that? You see? I got to get real first with myself. See, this is, it's so freeing, right? Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. That's down here in verse 6. You know what he's saying there? Simple. Listen, you've been sharing the gospel with certain people, this group of people over here, and they keep rejecting the words of God. I'm not saying you get rid of them, but you know what? Eventually, you got to say, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep praying for them. Because there's other people here that are looking for Jesus Christ. Right? So I can't just stay in with this group and then be all down and out because they're rejecting Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, listen, he's telling me, listen, don't keep casting pearls to swines. These guys are acting like swines and dogs. Who is that? Those that reject the words of God, those who reject Jesus Christ. So he's saying, don't spend all your time here and then you become ineffective to the people that are over here looking for the words of God. You just pray for these people, love on them, and every so often when the Lord says speak to them, speak to them. But you can't just stop here. If they're going to act like dogs and swines and reject my words, you let me deal with them. You pray for them. You keep sharing the words of God. But don't you stop sharing just because these group of people don't want to hear the words of God. There's other people on this side here who want to hear the word of God. You go to them. Oh, it's so freeing what the Lord's teaching us. So much relief, so much release of burden. We just give it to the Lord. Oh, and then he says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You want to know how to remember that? Really simple. Think of the word ask. Break it down to its acronyms. A is ask. S is seek. K is what? Knock. That's how I remember it. Ask, seek, and knock. Now he's going back to prayer. Is it interesting that he talked about the model prayer and now he's going back to prayer? Why? He's saying prayer is important. Prayer is important. When we have a prayer life, when we commit ourselves to prayer, we are now seeking the Lord and his righteousness. Seek the Lord. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Okay, pretty straightforward. But you notice something there? Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Oh, you mean following Christianity is going to be difficult? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Following Christ is going to be difficult. If everything is going pretty good in your life and there's never been difficulties in your life, you better make sure you're on the narrow path. I'm not saying that I want everything to be difficult for you, but the Lord's saying these trials and tribulations that are in your life are getting you to draw nearer to him. So it's not going to be a perfect life. But you will have a perfect life. That's the reward in heaven. So you will go through difficulties here in life. You're going to be made fun of schoolmates. You'll be made fun of by office mates because of your Christianity. But that's okay. Because you know what? God knows. I release that burden to him. This is pretty straightforward. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Listen, false prophets, simple. They're not teaching the word of God. They're teaching you what our itching ears want to hear, right? And usually you can tell about these false prophets because why? They're after self-interest. And so they're going to feed you what you want to hear so that you would stay with these false prophets. It's pretty straightforward. This is hard to hear, though. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. You don't want to hear those words. Oh, Lord, this is one of the most difficult words that you'd ever want to hear from Jesus Christ. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We can't be pretenders, folks. Your life is in the balance. Your eternal life is in the balance. Give it to Jesus. Be real for Jesus. These words should affect you. These words should astonish you. These words should bring you closer to Jesus. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You notice they both had houses, but one was foolish and one was wise. But it was the foundation that it was on. Your foundation is Jesus Christ. Your foundation is Jesus Christ. So many people in this world's foundation is on sand. But right now, they think it's on rock. And by all purposes, when we see them on TV, for example, and they're showing off, look at what I got here. Look at my cars. Look at my houses. Look at this. Look at what I got here. I'm so proud of it. They think they're on the rock. Unfortunately, what they have is on sand. And it's quickly sinking. But they too can be on the rock. They too can receive the true foundation. All they have to do is place their faith and trust and belief on the one who truly is the rock, Jesus Christ. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. You see what he says there? Not as the scribes. There was a problem with the scribes' teachings. It had no authority, it was powerless, and it was leading them astray. It was leading them to lawlessness, to practice lawlessness. But Jesus now comes and tells them the right way and says, the narrow way, it's difficult, but I want you to know there is a reward for that. If you just seek me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you seek first the kingdom of righteousness, if you seek me, yes, there's going to be some pain and some troubles and tribulations as you seek me here on earth. But I'm telling you, it's for your benefit. The good comes out of it. Live your life now as an authentic Christian. Today's the day. If there's anything that you haven't unburdened to the Lord, if there's something that you're hanging on to, release it to Jesus Christ today in prayer. You go to him and you say, Lord, I'm hanging on too tightly to this, and it's keeping me in worry. I'm not depending on you enough. I'm not believing on you enough. I'm worried too much that I don't have a house. I'm worried too much that I don't have these finances. I don't know what's going to happen with my job. Then you release that to him. You tell Jesus Christ about that. You tell him. And he will give you the answer. Open up your hands freely. Open up your hearts freely to him. Let's become the authentic Christian that Jesus Christ has called us to be. Return to Jesus if he's telling you to return. Call upon his name and live for him. He won't let you down. It may look like that at times when you go through difficulties, but I can tell you something. He will not let you down. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek ye first his righteousness of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be so real with you, so authentic with you, Father, that these words captivate us and let us know how we ought to be as citizens of heaven. And this lets us know, too, if we're not citizens of heaven, these words here wouldn't affect us. But I pray, Father, that these words affect us in such a great way that now, today, we can be free from the bondage of what we've been taught in the world, and now we can be free in Christ with the way you're shaping and molding our thinking, Lord, and the way our hearts should be. Remove the hardness from our hearts. Remove the scar tissue from our hearts, Lord, and now we can be a new creation in Jesus Christ, to live a freedom in Christ like never before. Like, God, we have not been living as free as we could be, because, Lord, maybe we're hanging on to something, Lord, and I pray we would release it to you in prayer. We would come to you in honesty today before we lay our heads down on our pillow to sleep, and that we don't have to worry when we're sleeping. We don't have to worry when we get up first in the morning, because no longer will we worry, Father, because you tell us not to worry, because, Father, you say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and help us to authentically do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way. Thank you for these words here. Let it affect us in such a great way. Now we can live for you in freedom and not as in a lie. that none of us live in a lie. I'm not saying that any of us are, but God, if we are, we have to stop now. We have to stop now living a lie, acting as if we're a Christian, but to be the Christian that you've called us to be, to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and live for Him in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for the freedom that we have in Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who help me to stay on track as well as they pray for me, as they might even say words to me. I thank you for that, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, that you don't leave me as like an orphan, but you've given me the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray my brothers and sisters know that the Holy Spirit resides in them, and the words of God are here to shape and mold them, that it ought to shape and mold us so that we don't have to think like the world thinks and then live in that fear and in bondage and in worry and in anxiety and in stress, that I can wake up tomorrow just serving you in true joy and happiness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. We serve you, we thank you, we ask this, and I ask that you bless and touch my brothers and sisters' heart. May they experience the freedom in Christ that you offer and no longer worry and be in anxiety. And when we do get those times, that we come to you right away and pray to you so that we can release that to you and no longer be burdened by what the world is burdened by. Thank you, Father, for your complete healing that you will bring upon us. Upon your time, and I thank you that you're coming again, and you will come. Help us not to doubt your words. Help us to believe in every jot and tittle that you say in your words, and to live for you alone, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, and because of that, we love each other. In Christ's name, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, I ask this, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I praise you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He loves you, and I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we sing to you now for your glory and honor. Amen, amen, and amen. Here you go. God bless you.